ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Verse 61 of Vishnu Sahasranama. Sudhanva Khanda Parashur.
Sudhanva Khanda Parashur.
Daruno Dravena Pradaha.
Daruno Dravena Pradaha.
Divisprik Sarvadrig Vyaso.
Divisprik Sarvadrig Vyaso.
Vachaspatirayo Nijaha.
Vachaspatirayo Nijaha.
Sudhanva Khanda Parashur.
Sudhanva Khanda Parashur.
Daruno Dravena Pradaha.
Daruno Dravena Pradaha.
Divisprik Sarvadrig Vyaso.
Divisprik Sarvadrig Vyaso.
Vachaspatirayo Nijaha.
Vachaspatirayo Nijaha.
So, continue with the discussion. A few days ago, we discussed the name Halayudha. And I read from Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book about Lord Balaram using his plow to pull the Yamuna twice. Once when he was in Vrindavan and once when he was in Hastinapur. Just last night, as I was reading in Harivamsa, came across that he also uses it in battle. The first real battle that Krishna and Balaram were in occurred the first time that Jarasandha and company attacked Mathura, and it's described there that they didn't have their weapons up to that point. In Vrindavan they don't use Krishna doesn't appear as Vishnu or Vasudev. So they ran out to counter the forces of Jarasandha. And all of a sudden they thought, well, we need some weapons. And then all they remembered their divine weapons who came to them. And Balaram's plow, which is also called Samvartaka, which you may know is the name of the one family of clouds, one type of cloud who comes at the time of universal destruction, was sent by Indra also for attacking the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So it's called Samvartaka, and Halayudha, who fights with a plow, he was holding that in his right hand and a club in his left hand. Also, I'd said about Parashuram, what was he called before he became known as Parashura? Well, he did have other names, but his main name was Rama, and then he became Parashuram. I should have remembered that. Okay. So, name 575 is Dravena Pradaha. Dravena means wealth. Prada means one who gives. So he's the giver of wealth. There's a name similar to this has already come, Buridakshina. One who gives profuse dakshina, which means... Well, there's no real English translation of it. Something given in response to something that's done for one in a religious way, you could say. Just like the yajnik brahmanas, they perform a yajna, and the yajaman gives them dakshina. The yajaman, the sponsor of the yajna. So similar, he who gives wealth the bestower of wealth. There are different words for wealth. Dhana is a well-known word. Sampati could be used for wealth also. This word dravina can be used in a general way for wealth. It also, if you know the word dravya, which means something, some substance. So it particularly, it means not just money, but all kinds of things. I guess you could translate dravya as thing. Yeah, vastu is thing, something like that. And so it means money and other things, and particularly Sanskrit dictionary gives the idea of movable property. So that would mean, in that case, it would mean not so much land, giving land. So Baladev Vidyabhushan connects this name with Parashurama, who gave the entire world in charity to the Brahmanas after performing a yajna. He himself a Brahmana, but acting like a Kshatriya. And this name, beginning with this name, and for the rest of the verse, whichever names are there, Sri Parashara Bhatta, the venerable Sri Vaishnava commentator, he connects all these names to Vyasa. Vyasa is one of the names, and he connects them all. That he gives the greatest wealth in the form of the Shastras and their meaning. By giving the Vedanta Sutras, he gives the meaning of the Shastra. So that's the great wealth. Shankaracharya gives the idea of Vishnu as the bestower of wealth. What the devotee wants. What does he want? Well, devotees want love of Krishna. They may have some desires also. Protect my family, or may we build a temple. We may pray to Krishna to help us to build a temple for him, but we still need his help to build it. So that's another way. It can be understood. Then, there's another explanation. That there are two kinds. If we say Shankara, the Lord gives that which is desirable. That which is desirable is termed as, in the Shastra, in the Upanishads, that which is desirable. And of course in Srimad Bhagavatam, that which is desirable is called prayer. And that which is ultimately, that which is really beneficial is called Shreya. And they're differentiated because that which we desire is not necessarily that which is good for us. So the Upanishads, they exhort us that we should desire Shreya and not prayer. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, well, it's if you really know what prayer is and Shreya is, then they're the same thing. but the idea is that by talking of prayer and Shreya, generally people think that prayer means griha kshetra sutapta vitta, nice home, nice land, children, wife, first of all. Wife comes before children. Wife, children, nice friends, money, good position, all these things. And Shreya means to get rid of all these things. or at least to get rid of all attachment to these things. And understand that dhanmar nityananda, Narottam Das prays. that my wealth is Nityananda. Nityananda, we know, is Balaram avatar, but in a more general way, Nityananda means Krishna, who's always blissful. Dhanma Nityananda Patimo Gora Chandra, Narottam Das sings. So, Bhagavan gives. So we have to learn what to desire. This Preya Shreya comes up, that Nachiketa, he wanted not that which is Preya or Priya, but he when he asked for Atma Gyan from Yamaraj, wanted to give him some boons because Nachiketa had been waiting for Yama to come for 3 nights. He was simply waiting. So Yama felt sorry that he had disturbed a Brahmana. So he gave him 3 boons. So he said, you give me... Well, the third one he gave. First of all, he adjusted affairs back at home. And the third one, you give me what is Atma Gyan. And Yama said, no, don't ask for that. I'll give you land, money, cows, so many things. You take all of that instead. He said, no, I can get that by myself. But Atma Gyan, that which is Preya, I can get myself. But that which is Shreya, I'm asking you for that. That I can't get myself. So we should pray to Bhagavan for Shreya, for that which is our real benefit. Don't. So, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam, va jagadisha kamaya. I don't want all these things, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays. I don't want wealth, so-called wealth, material wealth, beautiful women, so many followers, or anything desirable in this world. I don't even want moksha, I want only your service. So, all these desirable things of the material world, Krishna gives us, but we have to decide what we want. What do we want from Krishna? We can want from him lab, puja, pratishtha, wealth, position, honor, all these things. But we should desire from Krishna his greatest gift, which is simply to be engaged in his service life after life, or in the spiritual world. Now, service to him, that will be granted to those who love him. Who wants to serve him? We want God to serve us. Give me la puja pratishtha. When we don't want anything from him, then we are blessed with the opportunity to serve him. So, what is the real wealth, or the greatest wealth? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has spoken about this. Again and again we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the greatest wealth is prema, love of Krishna. For instance, as it's stated, Krishna, Krishna, bhakti, prema, teen mahadhan. That these three things, Krishna, Krishna bhakti, and prema, these things are the great wealth. And Purushartha Shiromani Prema Mahadham. The greatest Purushartha, or goal of life, the highest goal of life, is not Dharma Artha Kama Moksha. It's not to be very religious, to be very wealthy, to enjoy sense gratification, or even to be released from material suffering. But it is the great wealth of love of Krishna. So Dravina Prada, who gives wealth, the best of the givers of wealth is described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Apone koreyasya dane shikhailo bhaktagone prema chintamone prabhu dhani Nahijane sthanasthan jare tare koilo dan Mahaprabhu data shiramani. He himself tastes that and he teaches to the devotees. He, the Supreme Lord, who is wealthy. What is that? That the chintamani, the wish-fulfilling stone of prema, without considering or without even being at all cognizant of what is a proper or improper place, here and there, everywhere, by any means, he gives that. And therefore, Mahaprabhu is the best of all donors. So this very well fits Dravena Prada, although unfortunately the most of the commentators don't know about this, the commentators on Vishnu Sahasranam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with his associates, what do they do? Jashaba loya karen prema shadan jashaba loya dan kare prema dhan. Taking his associates, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he tastes prema. Very sweet taste. And with them all, he gives prema dhan, gives the great wealth of love of Krishna. Patra patra bicha nahi nahi sthanashtan jaijaha pai taha kare prem dan. Without considering who is a proper or improper candidate, what is a proper or improper place, which also means to consider what is a proper or improper time. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all their associates, they give prema, prema dan. So in this way, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Dravana Prada, and the best, the best of all this, Data Shiramani, the best of all philanthropists. There are many, many within Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This point is again and again made that prem dhan, the wealth, real wealth, is love of Krishna. Golokera prema dhan. Hari Nama Sankirtan, this Narottam Das Thakur sings, that the wealth of Golok, the spiritual world, is pure love of Krishna, prema. And that is manifested in the form of Hari Nama Sankirtan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave love of Krishna by the method of giving the name of Krishna. That's one way. There are other ways also. Just by seeing him, by seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what happens? Sri Anga Sri Mukh Jai Kare Darshan Tara Papa Khoi Hoi Pai Prem Dhan. So anyone who sees his beautiful auspicious form, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beautiful auspicious form, anyone who sees his beautiful and auspicious face, just by that, all their sins are cleared away and they attain pure love of Krishna, the great wealth of love of Krishna, prem dhan. So what happens then? People will come. Sri Jagate Lok Ashi Karin Darshan Jai Dekhe Shai Pai Krishna Prema Dhan. From all over the universe, people would come to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You may say, well, we don't find, like in Krishna Leela, we find Brahma with four heads. We find Indra with 1,000 eyes. Brahma was there as Haridasa Thakur. But so many demigods would come disguised just as ordinary simple pilgrims to have the darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And whoever saw him would attain the wealth of love of Krishna. Yeah, so how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what's the method to get that prem? He describes Bhajane Madhe Shrestha Navabidha Bhakti. Krishna Prem Krishna Dite Dhare Mahashakti. There are many ways to worship Krishna, but the best are the nine methods of Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. All of these have great power to give Krishna Prem and Krishna directly. So, Dravana Prada can refer to the process of bhakti also. Taramad or the process of bhakti is none different from Krishna. It's his internal energy. He's working to bring the jivas back to him. His internal energy, which is none different from himself. Please close this door. We're not going to be distributing Krishna Prem to the flies. Flies should stay outside. Well, they can also get it by the mercy of all of you, but we prefer if they get Krishna Prem outside rather than inside. So this great wealth of love, that's given by Krishna. If we say it's given by the process of bhakti, it's given by his internal potency, who is none different from himself. Shukadeva Goswami clarifies in the Srimad Bhagavatam. What is that? Rame, Ramesha. I can't remember. Yatarabhaka. I can't remember exactly, but there's a description how he who is the Lord of Rama, the internal potency, he enjoys with himself, just like a child may play with his reflection in a mirror. So the process of bhakti is non-different from Krishna, different and non-different. And the name of Krishna is Krishna. So among all the nine processes, Taramadhe Sarva Shrishta Nama Sankirtan Niraparadhe Nama Loile Pai Prema Dhan. Among all the processes of attaining Krishna, the best is the Sankirtan, Nama Sankirtan. And if one chants without any offenses, then one will attain Prema Dhan, the wealth of love of Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving this. He's tasting this and he's giving this. Therefore, he's the best of all givers of wealth. Even there are so many avatars, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, as described by Srila Rupa Goswami, he is Mahavadanya. He is most munificent. Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishri Namaha. Rupa Goswami offered obeisances to Rupa Goswami as being the most munificent of all various forms of the Lord. He is Krishna, but in this form he is known as Krishna Chaitanya. And he gives love of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tastes prem and he gives it. He begs it from Krishna. In the mood of Radharani, he begs prem from Krishna, saying, Prem dhan bina beta daridra jivan, dashkari betan more deho prema dhan. He says that without this wealth of love of Krishna, our life is poverty-stricken. So if one thinks, oh, by the mercy of Krishna, I will get so much money, I will get so much name and fame and position and glory, then such a person is a very poor person, even if he may have apparently huge wealth. But such a person is a very poor person if he thinks that this is the actual wealth given by Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays that, make me your servant and give me the wages of Premadhan, love of Krishna. So that's one name in Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, which we can directly understand this in terms of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Data Shiromani, Mahavadanya Avatar, who gives love of Krishna, the greatest of all wealth. The next name, 576, is Divi Sprik. So Divi refers to the sky, and Sprik means touching. Touching the sky. So how tall do you have to be to touch the sky? It's unimaginable. Can you touch the sky? You can jump. See how high you can jump. Just like on the... How high can you go? On the Janmashtami in Mumbai and other... They have this butter pot and on top of a slippery pole. See, how high can you go without falling down? We can't imagine anyone who's so tall he can touch the sky. Well, that's the difference between Krishna and us. He can do what is impossible to do, what is unimaginable for us. If we see someone very tall, we look up and say, oh, they're so big, they're so tall, but they can't. Just like a few days ago, Gokul Chandra Prabhu is taller than all of us. But so we all have to look up and talk to him, look up. But he can't touch the sky. He's a long, long, long way from that. And Krishna touches the sky. If you see some tall building, of course there are mountains also, you can look up, they're so big. But a tall building is impressive in as much as a mountain, it goes up at a slope. But a tall building, you don't really have very tall buildings here in India. Probably at some point they'll try to construct the world's tallest building. Most countries do at some time or other. And then someone else comes along a few years later and makes something taller. So if you see a very tall building, if you stand at the bottom, I remember once I was in New York City in the vicinity of the World Trade Center, the Twin famous, they were already famous, they became more famous after they fell down. So standing at the bottom and looking up, just looking or trying to look up, your head is spinning. You can't remember how high you can. It becomes somewhat dim, maybe in the haze or the smog of New York City. But it looks so high, but it's still nowhere near the sky. How high is the sky? If you try to rise up in the sky in an airplane, you'll never reach it. You can't, where does it begin exactly? You can't say exactly. But we see it as, we see a sky, but there's another way, it's difficult to touch because there's not a point, there's not some skin or something. There's no particular place where it begins. But anyway, Krishna touches it. Something else I made a note of. About the skyscraper. That's buildings, very tall buildings are called skyscrapers. They mean, I don't know how they call it, scraper, how it scrapes the sky. That idea is there. In Bengali, the word for a very tall building is Gagan Chumbi. You say also? In Hindi also. It means kissing the sky. But they don't really come anywhere near. It looks so tall to us. Whew. Can you imagine walking up the stairs in the Twin Towers? You'd have a heart attack. How tall was it? 150 stories, anyone know? 105? 111, yeah, but now they have taller ones. But they just make them just for the sake of being tall, because they make it very thin in the top especially, and they put some flagpole or something.
Shard.
Yeah, in England, in London, they have a building called the Shard, but it's not so tall. Shard means a piece of broken glass, and it looks something like, I don't know why they make such stupid buildings. It's not very practical. But yeah, it's just to tourist attraction or something like that. So, yeah, you say sky kissing, but not really. Still a long way from the sky. So what does it mean that he touches the sky? Well, the obvious idea is Vamanadeva touched with his foot. He put his foot through the covering of the universe, and then the causal ocean leaked through. And therefore we have Ganga. She comes through, washing his lotus foot. Not feet, foot. Maybe she goes down and touches the other one also. But remember that these names are being explained in terms of Vyasa. So by his knowledge is so vast, just like the sky is so vast, and that knowledge can raise us up. One who has high knowledge, they should have high thinking also. There's some idea, there used to be some idea, that by there's so much crime in society, and so we'll educate everyone and then everyone will be good. You heard that idea? But the education doesn't make them good, because the education is along the lines of calm material desire. It's not elevating knowledge. It used to be in Britain what they had, they called classical education. They would teach the classics. That means Greek and Latin works, the Odysseus, what's it called? I can't remember. Odysseus is the hero of the Odyssey. And there's the Iliad. And in Latin, there's something like Virgil or something. Virgil, I don't know how it's pronounced. So they have this, and the idea that it's elevating literature because it imparts high sentiments. So all these high-minded British people got their degrees and went off and killed people all over the world and expanded the British Empire. Gentlemen. Nowadays, the literature, some of the things, I remember reading when I was a kid, something was just so horrible. It was it was some kind of novel or true story or whatever, of life in New York City, the low class people, and just full of all absolutely violence, vulgar language, crime, rape, homosex, completely horrible. And this was considered, what was the name of the author? Was it James Baldwin?
James Haglitz.
Huh?
James Haglitz.
Is it? I think it was James Baldwin. Anyway, you used to sell such books in India also. And just completely horrible. I mean, I felt like vomiting when I was reading it. And then this Kafka with his story of complete hopelessness, the trial in which someone is being tried. They don't know what they're being tried for. The trial goes on and on for a year. He's never told what the offense is. But anyway, the result is certain. He's guilty. And at the end, I didn't read it to the end because it's too depressing. Many years later, I saw what's the end of the story. They kill him. They shoot him. So it's not uplifting at all. But what Vyas gives, that is uplifting. When we hear the qualities of the personality of God, of course, we have to see what is Vyas's greatest gift in the last. the last name, Dravina Prada, the giver of great wealth. Well, the greatest wealth he's given is Srimad Bhagavatam. That's more important than all the rest of the Vedas put together. I mean, it's the Sarvedetihasanam Saram Saram Hyodahritam. It's the cream of the cream of all the Vedic literature. Just like you have a bookshop. How many books in varieties of books in stock? I'm not talking about total number. Must be a few thousand, is it?
10,000.
10,000 books. All useless. Except you keep Prabhupada's books also. So one book of Prabhupada, of Vyasadeva, is more valuable than all these books put together. That's what the British, that Lord Macaulay said. He said that one shelf on any good British library is worth more than all the Vedas put together. But he got it around the wrong word. Srimad, that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, if all the books in the world vanished and Srimad Bhagavatam stayed, there'd be no great loss. You think, oh, so much knowledge is lost. Yeah, but better if people can learn about Srimad Bhagavatam. And Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, godbrother Prabhupada, he took it even further. He said that even if all the Vedic literature was lost, if there's just one verse left, you can understand the whole import of the Vedic literature just from that. Any guesses? Anyone heard me say this before? Atendriya priti vancha tare bale kam krishnendriya priti ichat dhare premanam. The desire to satisfy one's own senses is material lust, and the desire to satisfy Krishna's transcendental senses, that is called prema. So this very high thoughts should lift us up. That's why we don't. Devotees should be of good character. People expect that. People become very surprised if they see someone dressed as a sadhu and he's behaving in a very bad way. And now for something completely different. I seeing on TV years ago, a comedy show is very famous in the English-speaking world, called Monty Python's Flying Circus. And very, very funny. I can, even now when I think of it, I think it's very funny. There's a sketch called The Bishop. And the bishop, you know, the bishop means, you know, he should be very high priest, so he should be very kind, loving, saintly and gentle. So he's walking down the road holding his, what's it called, a meter, I think it's called? No, I think it's called a mitre, a bishop's one. It's not a scepter, is it? Maybe it's a scepter. Scepter's for a king. And he's holding it. It's a hooked scepter. He's holding this and walk with two, one man on each side, with heavy guys with dark glasses, and they look like mafiosi. So they're walking down the road like this, looking very threatening. Ah, just hilarious. And then he comes into someone's office and someone says, "Ah, the bishop," as if he's really afraid. And then the bishop pulls out a cigar and he, with his scepter, he goes like this, and it's like a lighter, and he lights his cigar and blows the smoke in the gun. Maybe that's enough of that nonsense. Anyway, the idea is that a saintly person should be... Mafiosi means very low consciousness. Bullying people, exploiting them, doing all kinds of the worst crime and killing people. So this knowledge that Vyas gives lifts us. He himself is touching the sky by describing the pastimes of Krishna. It takes us to, we feel elevated, we feel purified by that. So he helps us to also touch the skies. He gives us he touches the sky. He's not discussing mundane topics. Well, it is there in the Bhagavatam also, but Narad told in the Vedas, and Narad told him that is jugupshitam. It is terror. It is really bad. You've described so many things in the Vedas which are all material. But that's what he's supposed to do. He's Vyas. He's supposed to sort out the Vedas. And the Vedas, Trigunya Vishaya Veda, the Vedas deal with the modes of nature, but Narad wasn't very satisfied. And Vyas wasn't very satisfied either until he gave the knowledge of Bhagavatam, which brings us up. And when we go up and up and up, then the sun is in the sky. So Bhagavatam is just like the sun. Purana Arka is the Arka is also a name for the sun, which comes in Vishnu Sahasranama. So that knowledge of the Bhagavatam, that is Krishna Swadhamo Pagate Dharma Gyane Dibisaha Kalo Nashtra Drishamesha Purana Kodhanodit. This Srimad Bhagavatam has arisen. Krishna has gone. Krishna has departed. Krishna is just like the sun. Krishna has departed, and with him all good things, dharma, knowledge, has gone. But the Srimad Bhagavatam has risen like the sun in this Kali Yuga to give people who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in this Kali Yuga, the Bhagavatam gives that. So the Bhagavatam is also non-different from Krishna. And the Bhagavatam takes us to the skies and beyond the skies. This name Divisprik is also understood to mean that he is the Antaryami, the indweller for Surya and all the other planets. That was discussed just recently, how Surya Dev is Narayana, or he's the source of the sunlight. So that's another meaning of he who touches the sky as Surya Dev. Okay, let's go through it a little systematically. It also means that he resides in the sky. He resides everywhere, sorry, in the sky also. We're not doing that. And even beyond the sky, in the spiritual world. When he revealed his universal form that covers everything, which includes the sky. Regarding the sun, that can also be, sometimes the sun is referred to as Divi, the sky, because they're inseparable. The sun is always in the sky and the sky always has the sun. So in this way, may be understood. Krishna is very kind, though he's so big and so magnificent and so much beyond us, he very kindly makes himself available. He comes in human-like form and performs human-like pastimes, makes himself available as the deity so that we can dress him, feed him. Srila Prabhupada commented once in one lecture that if Krishna came as the Vishvarupa, the universal form, be a very difficult. We see we can dress the deity if we have to dress the universal form. Be very difficult. He said all the cloth factories in the world would be finished and still he wouldn't be dressed. So Krishna's very kind. He makes himself available to us. And he helps us to go beyond this material world. We just had that Aditya Varnam Tamasah Parastat. We just had that verse quoted, or line from the verse. So he's just like the sun who is beyond the darkness of this world, and he takes us beyond this world also. Baladev also, Baladev Vidyabhushan, he also explains this. He's now also beginning to explain these names. in terms of Vyasadeva. Baladeva Vidyabhushan explains this name to mean that he appeared as Srila Vyasadeva, who explained via the Vedas, he explained the truth of the spiritual world. When we say the sky, the best sky is the spiritual sky. So, Hare Krishna, I'll finish there. Any question about this? Yeah, please.
Most of us are chanting mostly Nama Parada.
So most of us are chanting Nama Parada. No, if one is attempting to become purified while chanting, then although offenses may be there, but this stage is not namaparada. It's the clearing stage. It means in between stage. There are offenses, but there's also the desire to properly serve Krishna. So it's in between stage. Namabhas. So it's not this. Definitely we may have material attachments, we may be inattentive, there may be so many faults in our chanting, but still that state, because we're trying to become purified, that stage is not called namaparada. Anyway. Namabhas means we're trying to become purified. That's all. We're not chanting, we're not deliberately offending Krishna. We're not making a habit of it. Then, Hare Krishna. Dravirna Pradat Kijai, Devi Sprit Kijai.